So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. On May 27th, Governor Tony Evers announced $200 million for local governments, $10 million to tribes, but $190 million in federal COVID aid to local governments. He called it the Routes to Recovery Program. And the Department of Administration announced specific amounts that each municipality would get. Jerry DeShane is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. And I think he's about to tell us that, thankfully, thanks for the Routes to Recovery money, but in many cases, it's not going to cover the COVID-19 costs of local governments. Jerry, that's a long introduction, but did I get it halfway right?
You got it pretty much right. Yeah, we appreciate the expense money, but that's not where the real hole is.
Well, talk to me about the real holes. What have your local governments discovered in terms of COVID-19 costs that are still ongoing, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the biggest cost, and it's really no surprise to anyone, Steve, it's the revenue drop-off. Local government budgets, about a third of it is made up of things like room tax and parking fees and recreation fees, things like that. And those revenues have cratered. They're just gone. No surprise to anybody. You've seen what's happened to travel. You've seen what's happened to people moving around in communities. Well, that money is disappearing. All told, it's about, we're guesstimating $400 million will be the impact to local governments.
$400 million impact on local governments. Let's set this context. Your local governments set these budgets, they approved these budgets last fall for calendar 2020. So we go merrily along and the economy is doing very well. Unemployment is a record low 3%. And then comes mid-March and the roof falls in, correct?
Absolutely. Everything comes to a screeching halt on Main Street and Oak Street.
Your budget had been approved. You knew your shared revenue numbers from the state budget. And then, give me the overview. How did your local governments deal with what amounted to a quarantine lockdown Wisconsin?
Well, they did what everyone else did. They kept the essential employees on that they had to, and they sent everyone else home. The problem is, in local government, most people are essential. You can't stop operating the sewer system where bad things happen, right? You can't stop operating the electrical grid. You can't stop operating the streets. You know you can't cut back on policing. You can't cut back on fire. So all of their expenses are chugging along. But for about one third of their local municipal budgets, the spigot dried up. Let's call it the dynamic portion of city and village budgets are the ones that are getting really hit hard, very hard, all across the state.
Well, Jerry, I'm going to use the term have and have nots, because as you're aware, the CARES bill, the COVID aid passed by Congress, signed by President Trump, it carved out special aid for municipalities above 500,000. So I'm going to read from Legislative Fiscal Bureau summary. We have three local governments in Wisconsin above 500,000. CARES gave the city of Milwaukee $103 million. Governor Evers' Routes to Recovery gave Milwaukee another 9.6. That's $126 million. My math may be off a little bit. The County of Milwaukee from CARES, $62 million. The Routes to Recovery, another $15 million. That total, $77 million. And Dane County from CARES, $95 million. And Routes to Recovery, an additional 8.7. So you had three of our largest governments with admittedly large needs that got federal aid over and above Routes to Recovery, correct?
Yes.
Does this amount to haves and have-nots?
Well, not really, because Routes to Recovery used a per capita formula that distributed $200 million to the counties, to tribes, to local governments, as you described. That's about $100 million to cities, villages, and towns. It appears, although it's difficult to say, it appears that that will be enough to pay for their added unbudgeted costs, as the federal government is defining that term. But Steve, there's a real important distinction to be made here. CARES Act, Routes to Recovery, all of this federal support to date is not for lost revenue.
True.
Right now, lost revenue is the far bigger problem. Just to put it in context, Routes to Recovery will put about $100 million on the street for PPE, for added police overtime, for those outrageous election expenses, but it won't give us one dime for the losses in room tax, for the lost parking revenues, for what I estimate to be about $400 million in lost revenues. So we got $100 million, but we're going to lose $400 million. And then, just in case you feel like you'll be okay next year, that doesn't count what may happen if the state cuts shared revenue,
yes,
or state cuts transportation aids next year. These are just local revenues that we know are dropping.
Okay, now let's work with some figures that you and your office provided. Let's work with a graphic. Let's start, sure, with, you've been mentioning the room tax. Okay, lost room tax revenue, Madison, $9.7 million, a large number. And we discussed how much Madison gets, both from CARES and the additional Routes to Recovery. Brookfield, $2.5 million. And when I look up the governor's May 27th announcement, Brookfield is only entitled to a total of $649,505.
Right.
Milton, lost room tax, $1.4 million. And the Routes to Recovery announcement said Middleton's only entitled to $336,742. Oshkosh lost room tax $1 million, and that's about $1 million is what Oshkosh is going to get from Routes to Recovery. Is room tax the biggest hit that your locals are taking because of COVID-19?
It's the biggest individual hit. Cumulatively, parking revenues, fees and fines, all of that other stuff adds up. But room tax, of what I call the dynamic third, the dynamic one-third of local budgets, room tax is probably the biggest one.
Okay. Okay, but now let's talk about parking revenues. Again, going back to the graphic provided by the league, Madison anticipates, and it's, Jerry, let's put this in context. These numbers are projected annual, so these are not actual. You've only got a few actual.
Right.
Let me ask you candidly, do you think any of your munis highballed to make their potential losses look worse than they will actually be?
No, because then their city councils would require them to start furloughing people immediately. I think these are some pretty accurate numbers. Having said that, Steve, tell me when the pandemic ends, please. Tell me if we'll have a surge in October. You know, obviously you can't answer that, I can't answer that. So to a certain extent, this is guesstimating, and we all know that. But they're fairly good, and I would say fairly conservative guesstimates.
Okay. Let's go back to parking revenues lost because of COVID-19. As we said, Madison, 8.9. Green Bay, 2.5 million. Oshkosh, 300,000. Eau Claire, 100,000. And when I look up the Routes to Recovery index of how much some of these communities are going to get, well, let's do Oshkosh. They're going to get 1 million. And when we total up all the categories that we're going to go through in this chart, their losses are 1.65 million. So, gee, I apologize if I'm helping you make the point here. But these are just pretty interesting numbers. And thanks for providing them. Go ahead.
They're interesting. They're sobering. And, every city and village out there will say, look, we know there are a lot of businesses in town. There are a lot of unemployed people in town that are in just as bad or worse shape. So we're not standing up here crying in our towels. But the fact of the matter is those essential services have to go on. And cities right now are doing a lot of head scratching.
Let's look at back to the graphic, courts, fines, and forfeitures. Madison anticipates a calendar, projects a calendar year loss of $1.5 million, Eau Claire $300,000, Oshkosh $150,000. Explain this. Is this the fact that I didn't have to pay any parking tickets in Madison from March 15 until June 1?
You have that many parking tickets in the city of Madison, Steve?
I got none because Madison waived its that's meter. Right. That's right. But
well, that's a small part of it. But the larger part is that the court system is shut down. You're not imposing sentences, collecting fines, collecting forfeitures, those sorts of things. We've shut that part of local government down for public health reasons. It's slowly starting to come back, but in the meantime, there's a hole there.
Yeah, understand. Okay, last category on the graphic, EMS costs. Janesville, why such a staggering high number, $847,800? That's more than doubles Manitowoc's $350,000, Oshkosh $300,000, Eau Claire $250,000.
And the short answer is, I don't know what all is going on there. It may be just something unique about the way Janesville, what their EMS system serves. I can tell you that overall, these costs, they're actually lost revenues because the hospitals have shut down all but absolute emergency dire care. So a lot of these are transport costs that were reimbursed through Medicare that aren't happening anymore. That's where this is coming from. It's lost revenue because people who would otherwise need to be transported in an ambulance or what we would consider non-essential care, that's simply not happening today. Therefore, the costs are not being reimbursed, but the infrastructure is still there.
Well, let's take the example of Janesville. When I look up the governor's estimate of how much Janesville is going to get from routes to recovery, it's $1 million. So, Jerry, is $847,800 of the $1 million going to be gone just to pay COVID-related EMS costs? Is that a fair comparison?
No. And that's where you have to look at what the graphic is showing you is revenue that's lost.
Okay.
Nothing. Routes to recovery cannot be used to fill in lost revenues.
Okay.
All the costs that you see on that graphic, none of those costs can be paid by routes to recovery. What routes to recovery will pay for is personal protective equipment. Every ambulance run these days is costing another $25, $30 in masks and gowns and the other equipment they're using. The election costs that we've all seen, the actual unbudgeted surprise costs, that's what routes to recovery will cover. And what we've been telling people is that's great, that will help in those actual unbudgeted additional costs, the $100 million I'm talking about. But what's missing is the $400 million in lost revenue. That, you know, you've still got the police that are putting in the same time, but the revenue to pay those officers is down by $400 million this year.
Thank you for making that point. The money from Routes for Recovery and from CARES cannot go to backfill lost revenues.
Correct.
And you estimate how many municipalities does the league represent, my friend?
Just over 600, 604.
Total lost revenue impact, calendar 2020, $400 million.
And that is our best estimate based on the data that they're giving us.
How do your municipalities, how do your members deal with that?
Suck it up, buttercup. In some communities, you have seen talk about layoffs. A lot of summer programs have been shut down because those are combination of they have fees and little revenues that support them. That's off the table. But the bulk is there's no answer, Steve, without federal support. Without federal support, the cities and villages in Wisconsin are either going to go deeper in debt or they're going to have to cut down on essential services.
Those are two tough choices. Which is most likely? Well, let me rephrase it. Are you hearing talk in Washington of another COVID-19 package that would deliberately help some of your municipalities?
Absolutely, yes. That is under consideration. In fact, there was a significant bill passed by the U.S. House. There's note that would include money to cover lost revenues to local governments. We are told that the Senate's not going to pass that bill, but the senators are quietly talking about what they would pass. You know, maybe it won't be $400 million, but every little bit will help. I would say that I'm cautiously optimistic, and our conversations with Senator Johnson's office, with Senator Baldwin's office, we are hopeful that they see this. They see that this was not a self, you know, this is not a self-inflicted wound. You know, this isn't local government mismanagement, it's the pandemic. And we believe that they will do something. What exactly they'll do, we'll see.
Are the homeowners that live in the municipalities the league represents, have these additional costs, which can't be backfilled with routes to recovery, have the cuts in services and the tough choices caught on these homeowners? Are they aware of it?
No, not yet. Not yet.
How are they going to see it?
What's that?
How are they going to see it?
They're going to start to see it next year. They will not see it this year because local governments will simply make do. They'll go into debt. They'll push some capital improvements into next year. Next year is when this comes home to roost.
Well, go ahead.
I was about saying what they will see next year, Steve, assuming Congress does nothing. By the way, I'm not assuming that. I'm assuming Congress will act and will protect police, will protect fire. But if that does not happen, then I think you're going to see some layoffs, some perhaps temporary furloughs with police departments, fire departments, public works departments to a degree. The money has to come from somewhere or the expenses have to go away. And I'm a little afraid that if there is no support from Washington, that the answer then is going to have to be furloughs in essential services.
Well, we have been focusing on lost revenues in four areas, you know, room tax, parking revenues, EMS costs, court fines, and forfeitures. But the table that the league also gave me referred to lost property taxes, lost development revenues, lost licensing, and lost water revenues. So talk about each of those just generally. Lost property taxes, why?
Well, and lost property taxes refers mostly to personal property taxes. That's a little bit more dynamic than some people call it a strength of the property system, property tax system, others a weakness. But your property taxes don't change much from year to year, regardless of what happens to your income. It's a very stable tax. Some municipalities anticipate losing a little bit of personal property tax revenue, mostly in TIF districts. The water and public utility income is a little interesting, but it makes sense when you think about what's happened to employment and manufacturing in Wisconsin. What are we up to, 20% unemployment these days? When you shut some of those big factories down for a little while, you can easily cut off 1/3 of the public utilities operating revenue. It's not at all unusual in small town Wisconsin where the local cheese factory makes up 25% of the water utilities business. You know, that's not a bad thing. And we're not going to ask the water utility to pay for water we're not going to ask the cheese factory to pay for water they're not using.
Right.
But that's where those losses are going to come from. That's why I say about 1/3 of local government budgets are dynamic. They float up and down with the economy. And right now, where's the economy?
Well, another category, lost development revenue. Can you talk about that?
Sure. The development community is, you know, they learned some very painful lessons during the Great Recession just over a decade ago. A lot of the revenue that flows through a municipality for development, the fees to examine their engineering proposals, the development fees themselves, the impact fees, all of that goes away if there's no development.
I want to go back to the governor's press release on May 27th, saying how routes to recovery money can be used. And you alluded to it, but one category, it can be used to pay family medical leave and sick leave. Is that a big cost for your members?
Absolutely. A lot of us can practice, I mean, you and I right now, we're practicing social distancing, right?
Yes.
But if, God forbid, I should have a heart attack right now, the EMS guys can't do that. They have to come in. They have to touch me. They have to walk through my house. As such, they're at risk. And what we've been doing is if they go into a house where there is COVID, they've got to take a two-week isolation. So they're basically on medical leave for 2 weeks. It was one of the first federal pieces of legislation. So those costs go down to the local government, and that's the way it should be. But it's a cost. It's a cost that has to be picked up.
Well, let me ask you, are you hearing that significant employees of your members are testing positive and have to isolate?
Thankfully, no. Thankfully, the money they're spending on masks and gowns and gloves and just being careful, I don't have hard data in front of me, Steve, I apologize for that, but the data don't show a dramatic increase among first responders. But I will also say this, those are the best trained people and they're taking all the precautions. So that's probably why the data don't show that.
Another item that the governor says routes to recovery money can be used for, temporary isolation, housing of the infected and at risk. How big a, has that been a major cost for your members, Jerry?
Not for most of our members. That becomes a significant cost in our larger cities. City of Milwaukee has had to resort to using that in a couple of circumstances. I'm trying to think, I just heard one this morning, there's a Dane County community that is leasing an entire hotel.
Yes.
It's to isolate people that test positive. Obviously, if their living circumstances don't allow them to do that, we have to put them somewhere. So I will say that's not a dramatic cost everywhere, but it is a cost in some of our larger urban areas.
And you mentioned PPE. Has that been a major cost driver for some of your for some of your members, your local governments?
Absolutely. The number that the EMS Association has given us is every time one of their ambulances leaves the barn, it's $25 per person in disposable masks and gloves and all of the gowns, whatever it is they need. Plus, they have to have access to good quality sterilization. They've got to clean that truck off when it comes back in. So yeah, that the number of EMS calls went down for sort of non-emergencies, but the number of COVID-related calls has gone up, and those are the expensive ones right now.
Okay, I want to know how you and the league are playing offense. You're obviously asking Washington for another package, but what are you asking the governor, the ledge? What do you need in terms of statutory changes or additional cash and from where?
Well, that's a great question, Steve, because on this one, local government and state government are on the same team because we're both suffering from the same economic hit. And what we need more than statute changes is federal backstop for that revenue loss. I know there's concerns about pension system bailouts and whatnot, but Wisconsin's got the best pension system in the country. It's not an issue in Wisconsin, but that loss of sales tax revenue, that loss of income tax revenue, that loss of gas tax revenue, we didn't even talk about that. That all comes home to roost. So what we need is to be arm in arm with Governor Evers and with Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald in asking our federal delegation, hey, we've done our job locally, please help us out.
Jerry, you and I are well aware of the number of years that your members have had to live with limits on levies, controls on what they can levy to finance the next year's budget. Yep. And that's to hold down property taxes. The $400 million that you've just estimated, is that an argument to lift some of these levy limits as your locals prepare the 2021 budget? Because that's a pretty tough sell in the Capitol.
And that's why, Steve, I would say, let me put it this way. Would levy limit relief help? Absolutely it would, because there's nowhere else to go. There is nowhere to get that $400 million. But rather than just kick off a political fight with legislators and with the governor or have a three-way argument about this, I'd rather focus on what we can agree on. And I think what we can agree on is that this is where the feds need to step in and help us out. So that's really the focus of our argument. Would levy limit relief help? Yes, but we're not counting on that.
You're not counting on it because you and I have seen efforts to lift it in the past fail, right?
Correct. It is just too popular right now we'll have to have another show on what's wrong with a property tax system. But that's right now we need help urgently. We can't wait around to solve the property tax problem. And that's what it would take to address the issue of levy limits.
Well, I don't want to be a downer, but I got to ask this question. You and your members and your board, you got to be looking at worst case scenarios. You said earlier, none of us knows whether we're going to be hit with a second and third wave. What's the worst case scenario for you and your members as you continue to have COVID-19 costs that cannot that federal aid cannot reimburse your revenue loss? What does this look like a year from now if we get hit again and again?
Insolvent municipalities, fire.
Bankrupt municipalities?
Well, you can't go bankrupt in Wisconsin. There's nothing in state law that allows municipalities to go bankrupt. They can dissolve, and frankly, it's never happened because the legislature's never allowed it to happen. It would blow up the municipal finance system. But more than that, this state doesn't want the reputation as being a place where we don't take care of what happens on the street. Wisconsin has a reputation as having very high quality local services. And I think the legislature values that. I think the governor values that. Steve, I don't think it comes to that. What's my worst case scenario? People forget to social distance. We have a huge blow up in the fall. We have a long drawn out economic recovery, and we have to furlough people at the local level.
You know, about a month ago, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell floated this idea of that states and local governments maybe should consider bankruptcy. You probably passed out, right?
That was an irresponsible statement. There's no better way to put it. It is foolish to suggest that local governments that frankly have been doing their job, that have been minding their P's and Q's, balancing their budgets, and that's what we do in Wisconsin, to suggest that our solution to our economic challenges is to go bankrupt is a foolish suggestion. That does so much harm to the state. It does harm to the state's economy, to the perception of the state, our attractiveness. And frankly, that's what got Flint, Michigan into the trouble that it got into. You start making really bad decisions and people get hurt.
Okay, final question, Jerry. Tie it up in a bow. What's at stake for your members as they incur increasingly COVID-19 costs?
Hard costs are about 20% of the problem. We need $100 million worth of money for hard costs. Governor and legislature provided that. Thank you. We will need $400 million for lost revenues to make up that hole in local budgets. And then we will also need, not to forget, social distancing, so that we don't have to have this whole discussion again in November.
And homeowners, should they be worried about what some of these questions might do to their property tax bills in the future?
Not in the medium term, I don't think so. Okay. I think they should be more concerned about what happens to the quality of their local services.
I understand. Jerry DeShane, Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Thanks for the specific references for specific cities, what they've lost. It's an important issue. Thank you so much, Jerry. Stay safe.
Thank you, Steve, and you as well.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.